Hi, good morning everyone. Welcome to IC Medan. I'm Homar. I'm part of the volunteer here in church. I volunteer for the worship team. And I am so thankful to Pastor Chris and Pastor Kerry for giving this opportunity that I will be able to share with you the message this morning. And while looking at the theme, which says everything is gonna be okay, I oftentimes think of the people here in Medan. Because whenever I see people, my teachers in Jogja had told me, you always greet them, salamat pagi, or the time, and then you always tell them, apa kabar? That term, apa kabar, how about you people here, apa kabar? Baik, baik. Those in the home, just use your chat box and tell me, how are you doing? Apa kabar? It's one of the things that really I appreciate so much, because when someone tells you, apa kabar, you feel like you have to re-examine yourself. You have to look at yourself. How am I doing right now? How I feel right now at this very moment? And it's one of the things that really helps me examine and look, search yourself of how am I going to respond to this person? Is it I'm going to respond, I'm not doing well? Or are you going to respond, yeah, I'm doing fine? And sort of you start off with what you want to say, what you want to tell people. Because this pandemic, my friends, changed the socio-cultural landscape of our time. Especially when we greet people or when we say goodbye. I know I hope I won't offend our Caro friends because when they say, how are you? They say, me jua jua. But do you know how they say when goodbye? Me jau jau. Because me jau jau means social distancing. Goodbye, I don't have to greet you. But anyway, my friends, these are things that has changed a lot in our time today. It's been 7 months that we were all doing worship at home, church at home. But there are things that we should also think about in this time of the pandemic. Pandemic also has put stress to everyone. You know, job loss, that's true. Business closed. And online classes. I remember a story that was told to me that before, the children, they would cry out to their mom, ask them, please pick me up. I want to go home. But you know now, children cry out to their teacher, ma'am, bring me to school because my mom is very strict. This pandemic really has changed a lot. And I know most of us are so enthusiastic to come together in church again. But I'm sure God will allow that. God will bring us all back together in this place to have fellowship, to gather again, to worship Him all together. But for the meantime, let's just stay put there in your house and just have the time to worship and thank God for the things that are happening in our lives. And there's one thing I said, this pandemic has put stress a lot to all of us. And what do you do in order for you to overcome stress in life? What do you do? Tell me in the chat box, in the chat, if how do you overcome stress in life? I have some tips for you in order for you to overcome stress. It's called a grounding exercise. I just want you to wherever you are, you're sitting or standing, I just want you to breathe in. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. But while you breathe in and breathe out, I like you to think of 5 things you can see. Just say it. Say those 5 things that you can see. You can say, I see a cup, I see a tablet, I see a table, I see people around me. Just say 5 things. And just continue with your breathe in, inhale, and exhale. And then the second one is I want you to say four things that you can feel. You can feel the hard table. You can feel the carpet. You could feel your feet on the carpet. You could feel you're sitting on a soft cushion. The third one, I want you to say three things you can hear. You can say you can hear my voice. You can say you can hear the fan. Correct. The fourth one is I want you to say two things you can taste. Or if not, you can say your favorite smell. What's your favorite? Two things. Your favorite smell. I like the smell of strawberry. I like the smell of cinnamon. Correct. The last thing, say one thing you can taste. Or think of one thing that is your favorite taste. Bebeka. Oh, I love Bebeka. That's correct. I love Bebeka. I'm doing this for all of us because this helps us realize that the life breath is a gift from God. He gives that to us every now and then, every day. It's a life gift that I feel that whenever we wake up in the morning, that's the first thing that we can feel in our bodies. The breath that comes into your nostrils and goes to your lungs. And those are things that really appreciate so much about how God is good. In spite of the stress that we are experiencing every day, that life breath is so important. Without that life breath, we're going to die. It's okay not to have food. It's okay. How many days that you should? It's okay to have no food, but water also. 1 week for food, but for water, three or four days for water. But breath, if you shut your breath or if you try to control your breath, it will definitely, because it's only 5 minutes that your brain needs those breath. Because inside our body, there's the exchange happening, exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide. And that is how complex life is, but that's how God wants you to have it. God, the life breath that God wants you is always given to you as a gift. It's like grace. Grace is given freely to all. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're poor or you're rich. It doesn't matter if you are old or young. It doesn't matter if you have a full teeth or some having palso gigi or something. It doesn't matter because God is giving you this gift. It's a grace. It's a gift. So when we say everything's gonna be okay, I thought of this one very memorable and amazing story of how God did to tell everyone everything's gonna be okay. This story comes from Acts chapter 3. It's a story of a lame man. It's not a lame story, yeah? But I titled it, A Lame Story, Stand Up for Jesus. It's the story of this lame man. Who is this lame man? This lame man, it says in the story of in the book of Acts, chapter 3, he was lame since birth. Lame means you cannot move anything. I mean, your is this one the legs, no? The legs part. You cannot move it. So this lame man was lame since birth. It means that when I see him, he's like a person who has no, who is a disability for his family. Meaning he could not be rejected, what I mean, but he has nothing. He has nothing to contribute for the family. He has nothing to do because he cannot move. He cannot do anything. He cannot do household chores. He cannot work. So He's a disability to the family. And of course, in the story, it says that he is carried by friends to the temple. It's so beautiful because the illustration was he was carried by his friend to the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. It was a beautiful gate. And he was placed there. He was placed there by his friends because they want him to beg. Begging. You know, begging meaning he is so dependent on others. He has nothing. He has nothing to do. That's the only thing that he can do is to be dependent on others. And begging in the Old Testament is so very particular in that book of Acts that they really mentioned that he was begging, because in the Jewish tradition, begging was a Jewish practice. It's a Jewish practice for the people to give alms to those who are begging, who are asking for money. They have to give, because there are three things that I remember. For the Jewish, in Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, it says, "Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hands to the poor and needy neighbors in your land." It says there because God's command is to care for the poor, for the needy, to care for them. The second one is in Luke chapter 14, verse 13 to 14, it says, "But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Blessings for people who serve the poor, who serve the needy. The third one, why Jewish people would like to give alms, is because God identifies himself with the poor, with the needy. In Proverbs 14:31, it says, "Those who oppress the poor insults their maker, but those who are kind to the needy honor him." So those are three things that I remember whenever I see this picture of a man begging in a temple, and these Jewish people, before they go inside the temple, they give alms to those who are begging, because it's part of their way of life that they have to give alms to these people. The third thing that I realized in the story is when Peter and John, on their way to the temple, because Peter and John are very Jew, they practice their way of life, their tradition. They have to also to pray. And when they were approaching the temple, they saw this lame man. And Peter and John said to the man, "Look at me. Look at me," he said. So when the man looked, he was expectant that Peter and John will give something for him. He must be thinking, "Oh, finally, these are two guys, so they could have a lot of denarii in their pockets that they will give me something as something that I will be needing. He was expectant from what Peter and John when they said, "Look at me." Having this eye contact is so important, especially for those who are in need. When someone sees you and they feel that, oh, they have something, they would wanted to share something. But in spite of that, Peter and John, when they approach him, they simply said, "I have no silver or gold. I have no money. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Such a beautiful story, because it shows that Jesus, that's the only thing that they can offer. That's the only thing that they could give to this lame man. So when they told him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk," this man stood up, and it says this man was walking and leaping and praising God. Such a beautiful illustration of how this man really felt the presence of God, how he felt the healing of Jesus in his life. Then people recognized him and they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to this man. But the story doesn't stop there. Sometimes we just read that until verse 10. Everything is okay. Everything is finally good. You know when you watch Disney, all the stories, it says there's a happy ending. But this one, the happy ending doesn't stop there. The ending continues. Because when this lame man was healed, Peter and John had the opportunity now to tell the people of who Jesus is. It was an opportunity for them to tell them, this man who was healed because of his faith in Jesus, he was healed because of that. So he told them, he told the people of who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus Christ of Nazareth? And 5,000 people were converted, were introduced to Jesus Christ. But that story doesn't stop there. Of course, there's always the bad villain in the story. Not bad, but I just say bad, but it was the high priest, the Sadducees, the elders, the leaders of the church arrested Peter and John. When they arrested them, they had to put them on trial. They had to undergo trial. But the lame man, he didn't leave Peter and John. He clung on Peter and John. He clung on them, meaning he really doesn't want to separate from them. He wanted him to be there. So the lame man clung on Peter and John. And while they were being interrogated and then things were said against them, this lame man was there to be a witness. So when they were all arguing, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests were arguing, what shall we do with this Peter and John? But they cannot do anything. Why? Because the lame man was there. He was the one who witness how he got healed, how he was able to walk again, how he was able to realize that since birth he cannot walk and now he can walk. So people there, the leaders, they were not able to do anything, only just to warn Peter and John by saying, you don't have to preach anymore, Jesus. How would you feel if someone tells you, you don't have to preach Jesus anymore? If your family members tell you, you don't preach Jesus here in this house, you don't tell anyone, your friends, oh, I don't like Jesus, I don't know him, I don't want to understand or know something about that. But for Peter and John, when they stood there right in front of the leaders of the church, Peter and John answered them, what do you think is right? What would God want? Should we obey you or God? We cannot be quiet. We must tell people about what we have seen and heard. That's the beauty. How bold was Peter and John saying that to the high priest, to the elders, to the Sadducees who were present there? They had the strong boldness because God has guided them and God had told them, you have to tell this. You have to be bold in telling this. And you have a strong argument because right standing next to you is that lame man. That lame man who experienced everything that I have done to his life. So, but the story doesn't end there. Doesn't end there because while Peter and John and the lame man were being interrogated, the believers started praying for them. They were praying. So when Peter and John went out, they prayed together as a community. But doesn't end there. When that community prayed for Peter and John to have the strength, the boldness to protect them from this, what's happening in their lives, the believers shared everything they had. Shared everything they had in such a beautiful story, a lame story, actually. But it has so many things that has taught me a lot in this story. Some of the things that I learned from this story is Jesus heals our brokenness. Imagine that lame man, he has nothing to contribute but just to beg. But the saddest part of that story is since birth, he cannot walk. His family sees him as a disability, and he's very dependent on others. You see how broken this guy is. This guy was. He was broken that he feels like he is no longer accepted or he's rejected in a society, in a community. But here we find the words of Jesus, of God in our presence, that Jesus wants to heal our brokenness. Because it says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Right now, there are job loss, there are business closed, there are struggles, because before, like me, when I was working, I'm away all the time in my family, but now we are together. But in the midst of this pandemic, we are always caught up in things that can break our hearts, can break our thoughts, because we are not used to things that we are doing before. We are not used to do things that that before we can just go to the mall and then, you know, stay there until 12 o'clock. But now you have to stay until 8 o'clock. But those are simple things. But the brokenness that I'm referring to is the brokenness of our heart, because we feel stress, we feel down, we feel depressed because of things are happening, not the same as it used to be. But I tell you this, this story tells us that in Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. It's time for us to remember this. This is a reminder for all of us that in Jesus' name, there is this power. The power that Jesus wants to have you to want, Jesus wants to you to realize that in Him, if you believe in Him, you can stand up and walk again. And besides, healing our brokenness even tells us in verse 16 of chapter 3, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him his perfect health in the presence of all of you. Recently, I had to battle between accepting the fact that one of my cousins died of COVID-19. It was heartbreaking for me because we were so close. But I have to accept, I have to realize, but the only thing that moves me is because my cousin believed in Jesus, and I believe in Jesus. And now the family members, his wife, his children, were telling all of us in the chat, in our chat, that everything is okay. Because we know that Dad is with the Lord. Even though we don't have the time to see him, he came back to us in an urn, but we know, because of the strength that he gave us, because the things that he taught us about Jesus, we are assured of his salvation. We are assured of his presence with God this time. Second Jesus is the chief cornerstone. In that story, it tells me Jesus is the chief cornerstone. In chapter 4, verse 8 to 12, it says, "Rulers of the people and you older leaders, are you questioning us today about what we did to help this crippled man? Are you asking us what made him well? We want all of you and all the people of Israel to know that this man was made well by the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. You nailed Jesus to a cross, but God raised him from death. This man was crippled, but he is now well. He is able to stand before you because of the power of Jesus. Jesus is the stone that you builders thought was not important. But this stone has become the cornerstone. Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has been given to save anyone. We must be saved through him." This cornerstone, when you say cornerstone, that is the foundation stone, meaning nothing falls apart if you put that stone, that foundation stone, when you set up a building, it won't fall apart. So he's this cornerstone in our life. It's Jesus. Jesus, if we are with Jesus, nothing falls apart. That is how I look at this story, that Jesus as the cornerstone, nothing will fall apart. And it's true, my dear friends. In one of my favorite hymns, it says, "The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord." It is true until today that with Jesus, nothing can fall apart if we are with him, if he is the foundation. Make him your foundation, not you as the foundation, not your wife, not your girlfriend or boyfriend, but let Jesus be that foundation. Because in everything that is happening right now in this world, pandemic, depression, things that come in our way, if Jesus is the foundation, this is the truth of him, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that nothing will fall apart if you are with Jesus. If you remember, I told you a story of my journey, that there was a time that I have to reject God in my life. I was already a pastor, but it was this community that let me realize that Jesus is the foundation. My doctor, my psychiatrist, even told me that. She reminded me, let Jesus be your foundation. Not the things that had happened in the past, the accident, the medicine that you take in. Me as a psychiatrist that diagnosed you. But she told me, Jesus, let Jesus be your foundation. And I know that you will return back to what your normal thing that's happening in your life. The third thing that I learned from this story is Jesus transforms individuals to be sharing communities. It says in Acts 4, verse 32, "The whole group of believers was united in their thinking and in what they wanted. None of them said that the things they had were their own. Instead, they shared everything." They shared everything. I remember that as Omar, I always prioritize myself. Meaning I always battle with the I. You know, in sin, there is the I at the middle. And that I always have to struggle with it because I put more importance to myself. I put value to myself. If I want something, I will get it, even without telling my wife. But through the years, through time and again, Jesus reminded me that if I am your foundation, and I will heal that brokenness in you, that I, that ego in you, I will transform you back. I will transform your life. I will transform you and make you not just looking at yourself only, but you look at the value, the importance of those around you. That's why I really appreciate the time here in IC Medan, because there is an opportunity for us to volunteer, to be part of the ministry in IC Medan. And that is one thing, because you don't look only for yourself, or you don't value that yourself, but you value the presence of a community who is there to help you, to guide you, and to care for you. So this lame man's story encourages us to witness, number one, what is real. You know already what's the second one. But what is real is that Jesus wants to heal your life. That is the real thing right now. Jesus wants to heal your life. Whatever you are undergoing to right now, whatever brokenness, whatever things that breaks you, it is time. It is time for you right now to ask Jesus to heal your life. Offer that to Jesus. Tell him, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I am having this problem right now, Lord. Please, Lord, heal me, because Jesus wants to heal your life. Second, what is relevant? Relevant, you already know. Relevant, what is relevant in this story is that Jesus is the only one who can save you, who can save me, who can save us. He is the cornerstone. He is to be the center. If we have a chair here, that chair is not me or not you sitting on that chair. Let Jesus be the one to sit on that chair. Let him be in control of everything, because he's the only one. And third, what is relational? Relational meaning Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus is the only one who can save you. Jesus is life-changing. He changed you, me, all of us. When we accepted him to be our personal Lord and Savior, he wants that to change you. He's life-changing. You know, I remember when I was struggling here in Medan, I wanted to find a community. Every individual wants to have a community, whether we like it or not. We are very communal. Human beings are very communal. We have friends, circle of friends, we have relatives. But me, I'm a foreigner, so it was a struggle because of really I wanted to have a community, but my first year was really trying to find that community. And it so happened that I have met friends, and then my family came, and then we found IC Medan. It's a community for me. It's a community that tells me of trying to learn again, trying to understand, trying to relearn of who Jesus is in my life. Because I was, even though I'm a pastor, I was also a lukewarm Christian. You know, I'm not that so enthusiastic about Christian life, about Jesus, about everything. But a community that helps you, that lets you understand, that lets you feel what is being home. A community that tells you what is that's the welcome home. in this community, it welcomes you home because Jesus is in our midst. Jesus is here in this community. And Jesus wants you. And that was the life-changing thing in my life. Because Jesus has become a personal relationship again with Him. That is what is relational. I'm saying this because the story of this lame man doesn't stop until Acts 4. It continues until today. Because the lame man, when he was healed, he felt everything is okay. When Peter and John was imprisoned and they wanted them to be, you know, to be stopped, but the lame man was there in their midst, Peter and John realized everything is okay. And when this community started to praying and wanted them to strengthen their community, they felt that everything is okay. Why did I tell you this? Because in history, the churches, the Christians, experienced persecution. They experienced being slaughtered. Sorry for the word. But they had that experience. But in spite of those things that are happening to their leaders, to their community, the church, the Christian communities, started to grow stronger. In spite, they could see those who were being put on the cross or being stoned to death. They didn't stop. Their communities became an inspiration to others. You know, the Gentiles, when they see these Christians, look, they were all being persecuted. They experienced suffering. But yet their fellowship is so strong. That story of this lame man continues because of that. Here are some, I would just like to share with you some reflection points so that for you who are there at home might have this time to reflect on some of the things that are that I share with you. First, look at some things in your life that you want Jesus to heal you. Second, how will you share Jesus in your family, friends, co-workers, and others? By words or by action? Third, in this time of pandemic, in what ways or means can we share in our communities? I was just thinking of why we could have like a food storage, you know, if we have those remain, some foods in our homes, we can put it in one storage and later on we can use that to share it with others, or a sustainable urban farming. You know, we are in an urban area, we could have like plant tomatoes or something in our small backyard in the house. Or why not have free counseling sessions? Something that people right now, as I told you, there are children who are crying now to their teachers, not anymore to their mothers. These are things right now that is happening. But we could have a community like IC Medan, who might probably be a way, an instrument of God, that we can reach out to our communities, even in pandemic time or even in non-pandemic time. These are things that... One of the things, to end this, I would like to share this story. When I was... having this exposure program in a garbage area, in a garbage dumping site in Manila. I stayed with this a community that their livelihood was based on getting those plastic bags. I don't know here in Bahasa, botot. The botots. Butot. So, but these were in a garbage area. So I have to live with them, I have to stay with them, I have to integrate or live out, living in with them. And there's this old lady who has this, who has a porridge, or we call it here, bubur. bubur. But the bubur here is more rice, right? But the bubur of this old lady has more water. I don't know if that's still bubur or soup. I don't know. Rice soup or something. But this bubur. And then she also had with her a can. Inside that can is a hard bread. As in hard. Hard like a rock. Like, oh, it's my gigi might fall off with biting that. But you know, she gave that porridge, that bubur, to the kids so that they can share all together in that one bowl of bubur. And this lady gave me this hard bread. And she broke it. And when I saw that, I realized Jesus, in the midst of that community, in the midst of that lady in that garbage area, when she broke the bread, she wanted to share this bread to me. In the brokenness, in the midst of brokenness, there is this opportunity right now for me to realize Jesus also broke the bread to make us all one with each other. To make us realize that this is something for us to accept and to know that in the brokenness, Jesus wants you, wants to heal you, wants to be with you. So in this brokenness, my dear friends, Jesus wants to heal your life. Jesus is the only one who can save us. Jesus is life-changing. And I would like to end this with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this day, O God, is a day for you where you are trying to reach out to each one of us here in this place, here in our households, O Lord, telling us right now that I want to heal you. Whatever ailment, sickness, or whatever things that are broken in your life, offer it now to Jesus. Tell Him, Lord, I am sick. I am sick with this illness. Lord, I am broke. I have family problems, relational problems. Lord, I offer them to you because you are my cornerstone. You are the one who is the foundation of my faith. And I want you to change my life. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.